Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book. And the Spirit of America Party radio show. We'll start off tonight with a little story. We're going to compare another country to the United States. And the country that we're going to compare to the United States is known as the Emerald Isle. It's Ireland. And around, we know our history, 1776, we issued the Declaration of Independence, and we threw out the British, along with everybody who cooperated with them. And we may have to do that again. Only this time they're not going to England. They're going back home to the Soviet Union. Anyway, as a result of the American struggle, the Irish took heart and decided that they would rise up and throw the British out also. Unfortunately, they failed. And in 1798, Irish Catholics and Irish Protestants joined together to rise up against the King of England. And as a result of their defeat, there is a poem called The Harp That Once Threw Tara's Halls. Tara, of course, is a hilltop castle that was home to Irish high kings. It actually existed somewhere in what is now County Meath from very ancient times, well before the time of St. Patrick in 432. I saw a statue in church of St. Patrick. He's stepping on a snake. And you know, they say that there are no snakes in Ireland. As a matter of fact, the joke goes, you know why there's so many Democrats in New York? Because St. Patrick chased all the snakes out of Ireland. Yeah, unbelievable. And so this castle existed before the time of St. Patrick until its destruction in the 6th century. But in any case, well before the death of High King Brian Boru on the battlefields of Clontarf in 1014, where were we as Americans in 1014? We weren't around. In a poem written while Ireland was still under an unwelcome British rule, actually it's the boot on the neck, Thomas Moore, a poet, lets Tara symbolize the seat of Irish government and the rule of Ireland. And the reason I'm reading you this tonight is because I never want this to be our funeral dirge as Americans. The harp, the traditional musical instrument of Ireland, symbolizes the Irish people, their culture, and their spirit. The British arrived. The British arrived in Ireland in 1172 and took the island by force. An unwelcome colonial power ruling the Irish people for guess how many years? See, when you lose big. 750 brutal years. Despite numerous abortive rebellions, Irish independence was not wrested from England until 1922. And then they only got a 26 out of 32 counties. Although Tara was actually demolished several centuries before the arrival of the British, Thomas Moore invites the reader to imagine a figurative Tara that still exists. But the soul of Ireland, the harp, is not permitted to express itself there, so it hangs mute and unused on the castle wall. The pride and glory of self-rule are gone, and the only chord that sounds at night is when some brave individual asserts his or her freedom in the face of brutal oppression. And if you want to have brutal oppression in this country, let them take your guns away. I just did a little survey, and I had four states that had hunters. 600,000 hunters are registered in Wisconsin, 750,000 in Pennsylvania, 700,000 in Michigan, and 250,000 in West Virginia. If you add that all up, it's over 2.3 million. And if each one has two guns, that's almost 5 million guns in four states. And that's why they want to take your guns away, because you're more powerful than you know. And ladies, you should be taking firearm safety. And you should know how to use a weapon, and you should own a weapon. Nice little compact size. Somebody means to do you harm, you can change their mind six times before you dial 911. So I'm going to read you this poem, because when they sing it in Gaelic, you won't understand it. The harp that once through Tara's halls. Now, you remember Gone with the Wind? She had a place called Tara. They're connected. The harp that once through Tara's halls, the soul of music shed, now hangs as mute on Tara's walls, as if that soul were fled. And harps that once beat high for praise, now feel that pulse no more. No more to chiefs and ladies bright, the harp of Tara swells. The chord alone that breaks at night, its tale of ruin tells. Thus freedom now so seldom wakes. The only throb she gives is when some heart indignant breaks, to show that still she lives.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Now, if you listen to that little poem, you can see how sad it is when you lose your freedom. And don't think that you're not losing yours. Every day, the ACLU goes to court to take away another one of the freedoms you were entitled to. They do it under different rules. We're talking about generations. You ever see when they do the commercial on the greatest generation? They'll say first there was the bebop generation and then the greatest generation. When they play the greatest generation, you can hear fighter planes and machine guns firing. And that was the greatest generation. This generation is going to be known as the misled generation, followed by the no idea generation. No idea that how much freedom they have already lost. And they're all gullible, they're all brainwashed, and they're wards of the state. They might as well be on a reservation. So those Irish that rose up in 1798 were defeated and shamefully treated, as one of the songs say. And they lived a life of misery for 750 years. They were no more than slaves in their own country, and that's why many of them left to escape slavery. So I'm going to, in my father's house hung a picture of the men of 98, and it was a battle scene and a priest is falling. And much like Andy Garcia's The Cristeros in Greater Glory, because the Irish Catholics were persecuted by the King of England for being Catholic. And they burned their churches and priests had to say mass in roadside ditches. And they were starved out during the famine. They weren't even allowed to fish. We as Americans, we can't understand how anybody could give up their freedom or not even be allowed to get food. We can't fathom that. So there is a poem, and it's called The Men of 98. That's 1798. Okay, by 1781, I think we had signed the Treaty of Paris. And these Irishmen looked to the United States and said, if they can do it, we can do it. But it didn't work out that way. So when they rose up in 1798, they were crushed. And there's a poem, and it begins with, Who fears to speak of 98? Who blushes at the name when cowards mock the patriot's fate? Who hangs his head for shame? He's all a knave or half a slave who slights his country thus. But a true man, like you, man, will fill your glass with us. We drink the memory of the brave, the faithful, and the few. Some lie far off beyond the wave, some sleep in Ireland too. All are gone, but still lives on the fame of those who died. All true men, like you men, remember them with pride. And you can use this poem for our own people too. Some on the shores of distant lands their weary hearts have laid, and by the strangers' heedless hands their lonely graves were made. But though their clay be far away beyond the Atlantic foam, in true men like you men, their spirits are still at home. And we do have a great spirit, the American spirit. And don't let anybody tell you that we're no different than Europe. We're a lot different than Europe. We're Americans. And whether you came here in planes, trains, or in chains, the sooner we realize we're the same, we're American, the stronger our nation's going to be. And those who divide us will destroy us. The dust of some is Irish earth. Among their own they rest. And the same land that gave them birth has caught them to her breast. And we will pray that from their clay full many a race may start of true men like you men to act as brave a part. One of the things I would do as your president would be I would eliminate boxes on applications. There would be no boxes on an application. Check one, American. They rose in dark and evil days to right their native land. They kindled here a living blaze that nothing shall withstand. Alas, that might shall vanquish right. They fell and passed away. But true men, like you men, are plenty here today. And in the United States, we have a skeleton crew of freedom, and when they're gone, we're gone. The day the U.S. military falls is the day the country falls, and you can start practicing going over bridges, carrying your mattress on your head. 9-1-1 wasn't to take out the military. 9-1-1 was to take you out. Then here's their memory, may it be for us a guiding light, to cheer our strife for liberty and teach us to unite. The Irish have a song called A Nation Once Again, and that's what we got to learn to sing, A Nation Once Again. Through good and ill, be Ireland's still, though sad as theirs your fate, and true men, be you men like those of 98. There's one thing about the Irish. They sing about their heroes. We spit on our heroes. When was the last time you sent money to get a falsely imprisoned Lieutenant Behenna out of jail? When was the last time you sent money to wounded warriors? What, you short this week? What are you short? A leg, an arm, an eye, a face? What are you short? Okay, having said that, let me give you a tune. First, we'll give you the wolf howl. I was looking up nuns today because I wanted to put up a... Hang in there. Get rid of that wolf. I'm going to shoot that wolf. Oh. All right, we're going to give you a tune. We'll give you a nun's tune. Better than singing, I just beat this hoe. Yeah. We're in trouble, man. We're all the way down the drain. We're down the drain. You know what? The rats are above us. So I wanted to put up a few pictures of nuns on my blog show tonight, because nuns have contributed so much to the education of children and for the nursing of children in this country. And I'd just like to show my appreciation for all that they do. So I'm looking for pictures of nuns. And the worst one was the Huffington Post. I never seen such they're like the ACLU in a dress. They really, when you Google nuns and you get the Huffington Post, it's a put-down. It's a real communist put-down. And if you type nuns image or nursing nuns image, you wait till you see what you get. Google nuns and see what you get and tell me what you think. Tell me what you think. Now, you think that Whoopi Goldberg is the image of a nun? And you think Whoopi Goldberg would wash a leper's body? Yeah, not unless she had 2 quarts of scotch. And then she'd only do the eyebrows. Yeah. So this is what Hollywood gives us. The what about the Hanoi Jane, Agnes of God? How about that one, a pregnant nun? You know how many pregnant nuns there are? 1 out of 1,000,000? All that nuns have done for this country, and they get no recognition whatsoever. I'll tell you, 2 groups of people that get no recognition, and they're both saints in my book. That's nuns and nurses. And you'll find out. And the best thing that can happen to an atheist is that he is rushed to a hospital and there's a cross over his bed. And a sweet little nun hooks his IV up to the tropical fish tank. And he watches the guppies go through his veins. Yeah. So I just wanted to let you know, show a little love for a nun. So if you go to this, if you Google this show tonight, I've got 4 pictures of nuns up there. And the last picture, I got nuns with guns. And the last picture is the 30 SEALs, 22 SEALs and 8 military who were all killed in a chopper crash. And the only one that's talking about it is Savage. Everybody else has gone along with the media to cover it up. Savage wants to know how come they put them all in one slow-moving chopper. I want to know who called ahead to let them know they were coming. Yeah, and why we didn't send in a Cobra to spray the area. Or a drone. Why we didn't even send in a drone. Okay, you drinking tonight? You're in trouble? I'll give you a Peggy Lee song.
Here and like some other men do. Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Like some other men do.
That's the late, great Peggy Lee. A beauty in her time. Also, She Gives Me Fever. That was one of her hit songs. Yeah, I was watching a TV commercial promoting songs of the 50s sung by the original singers, and there's a song being sung by a white girl. You're a Thousand Miles Away, and in no way is she the original. I forget the name of the group that did it, but it definitely wasn't her. But anyway, here's some good news for you. Sheriff Joe's posse is still in Hawaii, and shocking news is coming. Oh, we're going to find out we have an imposter. What are we going to do? You going to put him back in office? Sure, why not? He hasn't done enough damage. He's got more to do. We can't let him pass on this. And there's another blog that says Tom Harkin wants to raise the minimum wage. See election stunts. They want to raise the minimum wage. That's for everybody out of work. Tell them that we're raising the minimum wage. What's that going to do for me? How am I going to get a job? Well, we can't afford you now. Keep looking. Duma craps. You know what the Duma is? That's the Soviet, the Congress. So I call the Democrats the Duma craps. And they are communists. Tom Harkin is a flag burner. Harkin, the Herald Angels, ain't singing about this guy. You know that classic communist photo shot that was taken in Iowa? The band is playing the Star Spangled Banner. On the platform is Hillary Clinton, the head of the State Department, the Soviet, new improved Soviet State Department, the communist governor of New Mexico and former Secretary of No Oil, Richardson. This guy was Secretary of Oil. Do you know how much oil was a barrel when he was Secretary of Energy? It was $10 a barrel. And guess what? The oil reserves were only at 65% capacity. And not only that, his own car was 4 quarts low. So I call him the communist governor in New Mexico, and he also betrayed the Clintons. There he's on the stage with Hillary. Little did she know he was going to stab her in the back for Obama. And he also, his state wants to give George Soros the ability to whack weed. Tom Harkin's poor, helpless wife was on the stage. She's a victim of circumstance. And the king of Kenya, to lose Obama, Tom Harkin was not on the stage. He didn't have the guts to face his constituents. He was throwing up under the stage. He was throwing up his conscience and last night's supper. Everybody had their hands over their heart. Usually for demo camos, it is the liver, because baby killers and flag burners have no heart. But the Illinois Mahdi had his hands over his testicles. It was his way of saying, F you, America. And this is just what he did on the day after Memorial Day. He took a nice big spit on the country. D-Day, he was in New York. He was raising 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, more secret info has been leaked on his watch than ever before. If Obama's wall of secrecy was a dike, the little Dutch boy would need 80,000 fingers. Don't forget to check out my blog site at www.mediacrapmatters.us. And always go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can dig out the archives and have some laughs. Two of my funniest ones are the interview with the Queen of England, which I'm going to send to Imus. And the Meddlesomes. It's a family show. The Meddlesomes. They get involved in everybody's life but their own. You know those people. You have to take your flag down. It's too big. Unbelievable. here's a guy. There was an article about the police handcuffing people in Colorado. They stopped traffic and handcuffed everybody. So this guy is told, he was talking to a girl in blogs, back and forth blogs, and I just clipped this one out. And this is what he said. He said he was telling her how to bury her weapons. And he was telling her to put them in a pipe, get a big pipe and put them in a pipe and cap the ends of them and bury them. But don't get a metal pipe because they'll pick it out with metal detectors. Get the PVC pipe. So he replied as to police stop handcuff every adult at intersection in search for a bank robber. And the lady's name is Kathy, and he says, Kathy, when the time comes to leave, make sure you take your family with you. Get to Arizona or any of the other very conservative states like Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, North and South Dakota. You will be much better off than staying in that liberal state when the fit hits the shan. So if you want to know where to go and hide out, you're going to have to go west, young man. Yeah, you're going to have to get out of the Soviet, the Supreme States. Massachusetts is the worst one. And I hope that Romney does the right thing because nobody decent has ever come out of Massachusetts. And don't tell me John F. Kennedy. I bought that too, but I couldn't digest it. Do you have, let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's this guy again on this discussion. Oh, she was in Colorado, and he says, Kathy, unfortunately, Colorado is a very left wing nut state. Some states are worse than others. Colorado is bad. Check out the conservative states in the U.S. These are the states you and your family want to get to, because the militias in those states, along with the sheriffs and police, will be fighting against Bozo, his administration, the UN, and the Communist Party. My friends, you got to learn how to say the word communist, and don't be afraid to call somebody one if he's talking like one. If he's talking about the 1% has to be destroyed, he's a communist, and he's in the 1%. So let's see what we got here. We got a sugar problem. Let's see what that says. Oh, it's not coming up. Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is. Oh, yeah, this is a guy who said he never hit a woman. And only in self-defense. Yeah, hallelujah. Okay, let's see what else we got. You want to hear a pro-life song?
All across the land, all the
hear the headlines, this is going to crack you up. UN team reports clashes near Syria massacre site. No kidding. And I just figured out why Obama is not going to help the Syrians. I knew that Damascus was DNC headquarters in the Middle East. And if you don't believe me, go to MediaCrapMatters.us and scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see three candidates for bootlicking sitting with Bashar al-Assad, and they're all demo camos. They're all demo camos. Why do they hate us? Also, they're saying that Pakistan says allegations made by Panetta are unhelpful, and they want us to stop using drones to take out Al-Qaeda. They say it's not nice. And they don't like us reporting on the Taliban husband who cut his wife's nose and ears off. Yeah, because that's not the Islamic way. The Islamic way is to cut all the nose off and the ears. Yeah, unbelievable. Catholic schools are saved by a voucher program. Catholic schools in some cities show signs of life. Oh, they're pro-life. What do you know about that? Oh, they're going to be in trouble with the Obama Gestapo. They're helped by a voucher program, and it's been years since Principal Catherine Lowry pulled extra desks from the dusty attic of St. Stanislaus, the only Catholic school left in this port city that's east of Chicago, Indiana. But after Indiana began offering parents vouchers in the spring of 2011 to pay for private tuition, she had to bring down 30 spare desks and hire three teacher's aides. Thanks to vouchers, St. Stanislaus, which was $140,000 in debt to the Catholic Diocese of Gary at the end of 2010, picked up 72 new students, boosting enrollment by 38%. And they won't be teaching BJs in the fifth grade like they do in pubic school. God has been good to us, says Mrs. Lowry. Growth is a good problem to have. For the first time in decades, Catholic education is showing signs of life, and driven by expanding voucher programs, outreach to Hispanic Catholics, and donations by business leaders, Catholic schools in several major cities are swinging back from closures and declining enrollment. I was drinking with a nun one afternoon, and she's in her 80s, and she is in a convent of a school that has been closed in New York City. And guess what they do? They rent it to a mayor, Mohammed Bloomingdale. And the public school is using the classrooms for education. And then I pick up the paper, and when I say I was drinking with the nun, we were at a wedding reception. And great gal, devoted her entire life to God. And she doesn't wear a habit anymore because it makes her a target for muggers. Isn't that great? Yeah, New York. But if you're riding a bicycle in the bicycle lane, the odds of you getting run over are only 2 to 1. Yeah. They just had to just announce for the first quarter that three bicyclists were killed and 745 have been crushed by those automobiles, by extra horsepower. Yeah, and in the meantime, everybody's got to park their car in the middle of the street so the bicyclette can pedal down. Chicago Catholic Elementary School saw enrollment increase 3% this year and 1% last year. Why doesn't Obama tell everybody about that? I mean, after all, it must have been his money. He's going to say he's getting jobs for Catholics. Yeah, as long as they sign this paper that says that they will pay for abortions. The first two-year growth spurt since 1965, Greater Boston Elementary Schools had a 2% bump, the first in 20 years, and Los Angeles, Indianapolis, and Bridgeport, Connecticut also waited deaths for the first time in 9 years. You know, this sounds great, doesn't it? But every one of those Catholics' parents are paying taxes for an empty desk in a public school when they shouldn't be allowed to have their tax money for the school of their choice. Nationally, since 2000, U.S. Catholic school enrollment has plummeted by 23% only because of money. It's not falling away from the religion. And any mother who can't afford to send her kid to Catholic school suffers the pangs of conscience knowing that her child would be better educated in that Catholic school by lower paid teachers who are more dedicated and have a goal. Oh, driven by demographic changes and fallout from the priest sexual abuse scandals. That's BS. That's BS. That's that they're using the priest sexual abuse scandals to muzzle the church so the church won't come out and say Obama's a baby killer. And that's what they're doing. And Newark, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, those are black communities, folks, have announced plans to close even more Catholic schools. So how is Obama helping the blacks? How is he helping? But lately, Catholic schools have slowed their overall rate of decline. And going back to a pedophile priests, you take a look at that pedophile priest scandal. Multiply it by any factor you want, and then you take a look at the public schools with their rubber rooms and cover-ups, and you tell me where is the greatest deviance. Fifth grade BJs in the hallway? Are you kidding me? Kids having sex in front of a sleeping teacher? Are you kidding me? The improving prospect for Catholic schools in some cities, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't care what religion I was. I would have my kids in a private school, or and if I couldn't get the private school of my choice, I'd put them in a Catholic school, or I'd put them in a shul. I would put them somewhere where there's God, because if you don't put them where there's God, they're going to be ungodly, and you're not going to believe what you hear from them when it's too late to do anything about it. But families, including those who aren't Catholic, must be willing to accept weekly mass and religion classes in many schools. Oh, is that right? And if Jesus appears to us, well, what are they supposed to do, get a transfer? Catholic schools are showing signs of growth, even in cities without vouchers. Let me tell you, I wouldn't have my kid in a public school today at all. You have no idea what they're going to do to them. They're going to launder their brains. They're going to... If you feel behind your child's left ear, you better check and see if there's a drain plug there, because they're all being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed by the state. They're being brainwashed by people that don't have children, don't know what a child is. They call them fetuses. So, in the 1990s, the steel plants and factories had begun to close and white residents fled. Today, half the city's residents are Hispanic and Catholic, and every Hispanic would love to have their child in a Catholic school. Viva Cristo Rey. Go see Andy Garcia's movie, and you will see religious fervor like you never saw in your life. Go to India and see the Catholics of Goa and of Kerala, and see how they worship Christ the King. It'll blow your mind. You think you know religion, you have no idea what religion is all about, neither do I. Okay, so I just wanted to give you that little highlight. And just because you were good, I'm going to come and give you a tune. I got to find it. My blog studio has disappeared. I have to get it back. Yes. Ask any GI that served in World War II how many atheists there were. And you know what? When you die and you go to heaven and the word gets out there's an atheist coming, everybody has to hide. Because he doesn't believe in God or heaven. So when he does get a treat, he's going to have to, everybody's going to have to hide. They're going to play a joke on him. I'm trying to find a nice tune here for you. O Salutaris is the one I'm looking for, and I'm going to dedicate it to all the troops who serve. All the troops who serve, all the nuns and nurses. Do you know sometimes that the only person who dies that has anybody attend their funeral is the nurse that took care of them? A lot of old people die alone. They're the last of their family. And if you go to that funeral, you will see nurses in the back praying the guy away. You don't have to have a halo to be a saint. You can be a saint in your own right.
O salutaris hostia, quae celi pandis hostium, terra primundus filia, da robert fer
Housewives of MTV. They ought to do the fifth grade in public school. I think more people would, it would be a jaw dropper. I'm going to read you something. I'll tell you a real quick story. I got this from a guy I sent some money to help him out. Not a lot of money, a couple of bucks. And he was a captive in Iraq. He was driving a gas truck and he got caught in an ambush. And you probably saw his story because it's been on in documentaries. Gentleman's name is Tommy Hamill, and he went to Iraq because he needed money. His wife was undergoing heart surgery, and he was about to lose his farm. So he took a job, I think, with Blackwater or one of those contractors, and he drove a gas truck. Imagine driving a gas truck on the highway of death. And he got caught in an ambush, and the translator that was with him ran away. And the truck before him, they killed the driver, and they took Tommy Hamill prisoner. And they put him in a car to whisk him away, and an Australian reporter with a camera ran up and pointed the camera at him in the back seat and asked him, "How does it feel?" And Hamill just looked at him with hate in his eyes. And later on, I came across his interview. He was reliving that episode. I think he was a POW for about 29 days. And one day, God opened the door and let him out. And an American convoy was passing, and he ran up. And they nearly shot him, thinking he was coming with a bomb. And he kept shouting, "I'm an American," but they couldn't hear him over the noise of the vehicles. So he was twice lucky. And while he was a hostage, they used to walk him out at night like it was his final walk, and they'd make him kneel down, and they put the gun to his head, and then they would bring him back just to break him. And so I sent him a couple of bucks, and I got a card back from him, and I'm going to read you what he says. Who can understand the workings of God's simultaneous judgment and mercy, severity, and kindness? Hearts are softened by pain, often rest in heightened awe of God, being encouraged and enhanced with enduring thankfulness. The Lord is my strength, my shield from every danger. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving, Psalm 28:7. Thank you so much. My family is grateful for the prayer and support of you and yours. I pray the Lord is with you and your family each day. God bless you. Tommy and Kelly Hamill. So next time you see their story, you can feel a little bit connected. And here's a sad one. It's a father, three sons, and a mother. And it's a moment of pride, and it's a moment of family togetherness. And on the back of the photo, on the front of the photo, the father's in a business suit, one son is in a business suit, one son is in a sweatshirt, and one son is in American, U.S. Army blues. And the mother's in a green blouse. And they're all smiling. It's a happy day. The family is united once again. And the Army soldier that's in dress blues, his name is Lieutenant Behenna. And on the back of the photo, it says, Vicky and me in happier times with our three sons. Brett Michael in his Army uniform. And you got to buy those dress blues. They don't give them to you. So you got to really be gung-ho. And Curtis, I still can't believe my son, my brave son, is sitting in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Thank you again for whatever support you can send to the good folks at UAP as they fight to bring Michael home. And that's his father, Scott Behenna, saying thank you. So, and when you hear the name Behenna, you Google it, find out where to send some bucks and help this guy get out of a prison. You know, he was convicted of murder, given 15 years in prison. And he had a prisoner in his charge. The prisoner threw a rock at him and charged him, and he shot him. And he was convicted by seven officers, a panel of seven officers. Not one had combat experience. You think about that, huh? So there's two people we could pray for tonight. And this tune I'm going to dedicate to Lieutenant Behenna, Colonel Chisani, the fellow that's running for Congress in North Carolina, Lieutenant Pantano. They tried to make an example out of him. You know who the example makers are, the cowards, those who never serve. They're in the lip service, but they're not in the heart and soul service. So there's three guys that all were taken down.
When I cannot close my eyes and troubles taunt on every side, and my doubt is strong. Shelter me, let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Prince of Peace, shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God who comes me, come and shelter me. Do your promises still stand? Does your mercy? to me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Prince of Peace, shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God, who calm the sea, come and shelter me. Oh, come and shelter me.
Seen a good commercial. It's the scene is a diner, and there's a guy in his probably in his late 50s, early 60s, and he's sitting at the counter, and a GI walks in fatigues, and he looks at him and turns his head away like in disgust. And the GI looks at him, sees him. And he sees a tattoo on his arm, and it says 11 Cavalry, Vietnam. So the GI goes to the back of the diner, and a guy gets up and he's leaving, and he turns to the GI and he says, "Thank you for your service." And the GI says, "Thank you for your support." Then a kid runs over to him with his mother, and he asks if he could have his picture taken with the GI. So the mother's taking a picture, and this guy sitting at the counter is looking at it, and he's saying to himself, big deal. All of a sudden, the kid comes over to the guy sitting on the counter, and he says, can I have my picture taken with you? And the guy says, why do you want your picture taken with me? Just because that soldier says you're a hero. That says it all. The reason that GI in the fatigues is getting thanked is because of the Vietnam guy who got spit on, and people realized what happened to them was wrong, and they're making it, they're paying back at the future generations. And that's a good thing. That's a good theory. So until we meet again, have a good night. Viva Cristo Rey. And ABO, anybody but Obama.